From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, Manila, I bid you all good day, good afternoon, morning, or evening, whatever it may be, wherever you are in the world. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, the very largest talk show of its type in the world. That's no small claim, actually. So, hi, everybody. We survived the typhoon. I should have a T-shirt made up. We survived Cimarron. Actually, it was easy. For a change, one kind of missed us. This one hit land as a big super typhoon, Cat 5, Category 5, with winds of 295 kilometers. And what it did is it ran into, it turned north a little bit. It ran into the mountains, which typhoons detest. And, of course, that limited its impact somewhat. It did do a lot of damage and killed some people up north. So it didn't go without damage, that's for sure. But here in Manila, the most we got was a little bit of wind, a little bit of rain. And thank goodness we finally had one miss. There have been about 19 typhoons affecting the Philippines area of responsibility. And so that's a lot for this year. So what I guess the east coast of the U.S. Did not get, we got. So in order to continue to get the storms that that the east coast missed, I had to move to the other side of the world here. So that's it. Cimarron is now back out at sea and headed toward Vietnam. Good luck, Vietnam. Ghost to Ghost. Coming up this week, Wednesday for me, Tuesday for you all, we're going to have a Ghost to Ghost program. And it is a traditional affair that we do here on Coast to Coast every year. And on that night, we don't have any guests, no guests, except for you all. And I give you an opportunity to tell your absolutely best ghost stories, not two or three, but one. So even if you have a multitude of experiences, all I want is one. I want one very, very good one, told in a way that will chill the souls of those listening. Told in a way that I know you can do if you concentrate on it. So we're going to be looking for the very best screening. Yes, screening, that's right, for the very best of the ghost stories. So be prepared when you call. That'll be coming up the 31st, I guess, is the best way to put it, since we have different days. It is Monday here. It is now Monday afternoon, a little bit about 10 after 2 in the afternoon. So things have changed a little bit for me in that I now do the show an hour later here in the Philippines. But we didn't have to change clocks here. Didn't have to change thing. The webcam shot tonight is of Bukidnon Province, and that is where my my dear wife is from. Speaking of which, Erin is now Erin. Erin had never, in her entire life, been to the dentist, as is the case with so many Philippine people. She had never been to the dentist ever. So about a month ago, I started her going to a dental clinic near us. And she is now learning the joys of fillings, of having numb gums, of root canals, and ultimately of bridges and things of that sort. She's actually coming toward the end of her encounter with the dentist, and it's been something to watch. I mean, somebody who has never been to the dentist in their life, and I must say she's handling it very, very well indeed, much better than I did. I really never did like root canals. Very briefly, around the world, we are not the ones who got the big storm. Big storm occurred in the Northeast. Thousands of homes, businesses, had no electricity Sunday from Maryland all the way to Maine as a big storm raged its way across the region with winds gusting to more than 50 miles an hour. In fact, 60 miles an hour recorded Sunday in northern New York State. So the big storm really hit the U.S. and the northeast part of the U.S. and missed the Manila area anyway, thank goodness. A Nigerian airliner with 104 people on board slammed into the ground moments after takeoff Sunday Aviation authorities said six people survived. The rest feared to be dead. That was the third deadly crash of a passenger plane in less than a year in this West African nation, known for its notoriously unsafe air industry. I recall taking a domestic flight, a domestic Aeroflot flight in Russia, which I will never do again. Oh, my God, what a flight that was. The tires on the jet had big holes in them. That was the first clue. And then we got up into the airplane, and you walked into the bathroom, and it was sticky. Your feet were sticking to the floor for reasons that I won't describe. And then the seats in the aircraft, they were really funny. Because they just they did not lock in position. In other words, the seat, you could push on the person in front of you, and everybody in front of you would go down like a bunch of dominoes. So not everywhere in the world is aircraft maintenance quite the priority that it is in the U.S. Now, speaking out of the U.S., Mexican police are now down south, where there's been a lot of trouble. Vicente Fox sent them down there, finally, in exasperation, I guess, after an American journalist got killed and some Mexicans got killed. And so they are retaking one of their cities, Oaxaca, in southern Mexico. Firefighters, aided by dying winds, appeared to be finally winning the battle Sunday against a 63-square-mile wildfire that killed four of their own, destroyed more than 30 homes. The 40,450-acre blaze, which authorities say was set by an arsonist, was 70% contained 4 days after blowtorch gusts overran a U.S. Forest Service crew. Four members killed, a fifth left clinging to life with burns over most of his body. That's not a good way to go. Republicans on Sunday said a major voter turnout effort would help them stay in power after the November 7 elections, while Democrats claimed momentum as they seek to tap into voter unhappiness over Iraq. Both sides agreed the war in Iraq was a leading, if not central, issue in the contest to decide control of the House and Senate. You may recall, prior to the Iraq War, I was very, 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 very much against our going into Iraq and beginning the war, the second war. But my view is that now that we are there, that's history, and we had better win. I don't think the U.S. really can stand another defeat, as in Vietnam, as in the way Vietnam is viewed as a defeat. And I see no other way to view when you cut and run. We're there. We might as well finish the job. The official opening exchange rate for the Chinese yuan was set at a record high against the U.S. dollar Monday. Now, that's an interesting story and one that's being underreported. The currencies here in Asia, including, I might add, the peso here in the Philippines, is gaining strength against the U.S. dollar. When I arrived here, it was about 53 pesos for every U.S. dollar, and that's a lot. It is presently about 49.8, and that's a big change. And that's occurring not only with the peso, but with yuan, with other Asian currencies against the dollar. Look out, dollar. Halloween came early at movie theaters as, get this, Saw 3. That's the name of the movie, Saw 3. Sliced up the competition, they couldn't avoid using that phrase, I guess, with $34.3 million in the debut. The best opening yet for the gory horror franchise. Lionsgate Saw 3 easily took over as number one at the box office, bouncing and bumping and slicing through Disney's Disney's Dueling Magicians saga. So I guess these days, especially near Halloween, if it's competition between a nice, cheery little family-type Disney movie and Saw 3, well, guess what? In a moment, we'll look at some other news and open lines coming up in just a second. Stacy in Dallas, Texas says, "Hey, Aaron, I was just going to mention the domino chair effect on Aeroflot planes domestically. Did your plane creak really as loudly as you took off as mine did? You'd think by 1988 they'd fix their planes. Guess not. Never again, right? You said it. Yes, I did. Never again is indeed correct. I took a whole bunch of photographs of that Aeroflot experience, and every now and then I go back and I remind myself and I wonder why I ever got on that airplane. NASA managers are debating on whether to risk a shuttle flight mission to extend the life of the Hubble Space Telescope. Here we go again. The 16-year-old orbital observatory is expected to function for, perhaps two or three more years without a service call by space shuttle astronauts. But after that, if they don't go up and fix it, equipment upgrades could keep the world's premier observatory operating until at least 2013. We haven't even approached the limits of what we can do with Hubble, according to one senior project scientist. Using the orbiting Hubble telescope, which has captured some of the most spectacular images in the universe, boy, are they incredible. Scientists recently found between 8 and 16 new planets near the center of the Milky Way with it. The U.S. Space Agency had planned a fifth service call to the telescope to install two new science instruments and to replace spent batteries and faulty steering gyroscopes, but NASA canceled the servicing after the 2003 Columbia disaster, and now they're not sure if they're going to go back and fix it or not. The discovery, the discovery of radioactive snails at a site in southeastern Spain where three U.S. hydrogen bombs fell by accident about 40 years ago may trigger a new U.S. joint Spanish cleanup effort operation. The hydrogen bombs fell near the fishing village of Palmores in 1966 after a mid-air collision between a bomber and a refueling craft in which 7 of 11 crew died. Hundreds of tons of soil were removed from that area, shipped to the U.S. after high explosive igniters on two bombs, in fact, detonated on impact, spreading plutonium dust-bearing clouds across nearby fields. Spanish authorities say the appearance of higher than normal levels of radiation in snails and other creatures shows there may be dangerous levels of plutonium and uranium below ground, and a further cleanup could be necessary. "We have to study the dirt. We have to look underground," said Juan Antonio Rubio, Director General of Spain's research agency, CIMAT, which is carrying out an investigation with the U.S. Department of Energy. We don't know what's down there. But we do, don't we? Those of us who watch horror movies, we know what's down there. Can you imagine that? How many hydrogen bombs? Those are the really big ones. And the igniters scattered the plutonium all those years underground. And so, snails, that's nothing. Just wait till the big things start coming up. For as yet scientifically unknown reasons, I wish I knew the author of this, the author unknown, I'd like to give you credit. At times occur when an unsuspecting person can simply just burst into flames and become incinerated. The flames begin when the victim's own body are horribly complete in their work, reducing the human fuel to nothing but a pile of ashes in just minutes, sometimes in seconds. The whole event is so quick and selective that objects near the victim only show minor heat damage, if any at all. Sometimes even the victim's clothes are virtually left untouched, but the person burned to a cinder. These inner flames have been occurring for as long as mankind has existed, but most coroners, pathologists, scientists, and fire officials ignore any such evidence, simply choosing neater, less controversial explanations for these unexplained deaths, but they do indeed occur. There are several types of spontaneous human combustion. One, the fatal cases of spontaneous human combustion represent 3/4 of all cases that have been encountered. It is understandable where no victim is left to explain what happened. There's room left for mystery, and in a majority of these cases, there was no witness to the actual event itself other than the victims. In this group of cases, there appears to be three major subtypes that encompass most but not all of the cases. One, the victim's body and clothing is mostly reduced to ash. Two, small portions of the body, an arm, a foot, maybe the head, remain unburned. Three, only objects immediately associated with body burned. The fire never spread away from the body at all. Four, a greasy soot deposited covers the ceiling and walls, usually stopping 3 to 4 feet above the floor. And five, objects above this 3 to 4 foot line show signs of heat damage, melted candles, cracked mirrors, that kind of thing. Objects below this line, no damage at all. Type 2 would be the non-fatal cases, the remaining one-quarter of the cases of spontaneous human combustion found in research involve non-fatalities. Unfortunately, the victims of these events generally have no better idea of what happened to them than do the investigators. But the advantage, of course, to this grouping is that a survivor can confirm if an event had a simple explanation or not. Thus, there are far fewer cases of spontaneous human combustion with survivors that can be explained away by skeptics without a second look. As with the fatal cases, there are three major subtypes in the non-fatal cases. The first are those exhibiting mysterious flames, representing a little over half of the known non-fatal cases. Now, this feature might sound somewhat obvious at first. After all, SHC, spontaneous human combustion, is by definition people burning. As it turns out, however, a large number of accounts attributed to non-fatal SHC do not involve any form of witnessed flame. Thus, the next two subtypes, the second subtype of the non-fatal cases, are the cases characterized by mysterious burns. In these cases, the victims develop burns on their bodies, have no known external cause whatsoever. These strange wounds commonly start as small discomforts that slowly grow into large, painful marks. And the last subtype of the non-fatal cases would be those that exhibit mysterious smoke. Now, we all know where there's smoke, right? In these odd and rare occurrences, smoke is seen to emanate from a person. No associated fire or source of smoke other than the person's body. Yikes. I've always wondered if that was real, if spontaneous human combustion was a real thing or not. Apparently, it is. And I just have no concept of how it could occur. None at all. So, what do you imagine? Do you imagine, I mean, you can talk about many things, people who have a large amount of fat in their body weight. We all know that the fat burns very quickly, right? Other than that, I mean, we're mostly water. As we have discussed many, many times, our bodies are made up primarily of water, and you just cannot imagine how we would burn. Let's try and take one call before the break. West of the Rockies, Scott, I think in Indiana, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you today?
I am quite well, especially in view of the fact the typhoon ran into the mountains. Ha, ha, ha.
That was a good deal. I got two questions for you. Actually, it's a two-part question. I've heard George talking about the biometric card that they're starting to instigate between Canada and Mexico. First of all, do you know for certain that it is biometric or not?
I do not.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is my company that I drive a truck for has recently had all of the drivers apply for these, what they call Fast Pass to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not gotten the result yet from it. But basically, it's to allow free trade for citizens to pass the border without inspection.
Well, I'm not so sure about this without inspection business. We live in very dangerous times, and I'm not comfortable with that one. Are you?
Well, it's supposed to expedite. I'll put it that way.
Well, I know, but it might expedite a bomb.
Well, I'm not arguing that, but I've heard George mention several times that it will be a biometric card associated with it, And
on the one hand, sir, we really need free trade going on between Mexico, America, and Canada. In fact, all of the Americas, so that we can compete with where I am over here in Asia. You wouldn't believe what's going on over here. So we need that. We need to be able to compete as a hemisphere against the others and the European Union and so forth and so on. But, man, we live in really dangerous times, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, my second part of the question was, they have made mention of the secret government in the U.S. who is making these deals with Canada and Mexico, basically underscoring our constitutionally protected rights. If this is true, and by opening up the free trade between Canada and Mexico is doing away with our protected rights, why are we in the Middle East trying to bring...
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. I'll try and answer that when we get back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Secret government? That's what the last caller was asking about, secret government. I don't know anything about a secret government. Not a thing. Could there be one? Yes, there could be one. Could there be an operational group actually above and beyond the President of the United States, the Congress and the Senate, the judiciary? Yes, I suppose there could be. And other than the orders I receive regularly, I don't know a thing about it. By the way, again, the webcam photograph, I'm being asked about that. Somebody said, hey, Art, nice picture. Is that from a mountainous region? Yes, indeed it is. Is it clean water? Yes, indeed it is. Looks to be. And cold, too, like a mountain stream. That's exactly what it is in Bukidnon province. And that's where my wife is from. Now, I'm kind of in a decision-making quandary here over the next 6 months or so. I'm going to make a decision. I could well come back to the U.S. I like it very much here. No matter what happens, I would not give up the condominium I have here. It's really beautiful, really a nice place. And then the third possibility is that I may choose to move down to Mindanao, to someplace in Mindanao, or perhaps even here on Luzon. I picture kind of a, you know, I'm in a condominium building, as you know, and I've not yet approached the management. Now that I've got my ham license here, I'm going to approach the management, but I don't really expect a yes answer. Now, if I can put up antennas here, that'd be way cool, you know, for a ham radio. But I don't really expect a yes, much as I'm going to plead my case. So the third possibility would be to build a house. I've got this picture in my mind. There are some... just incredibly pristine areas here in the Philippines. Sort of on a hill overlooking the ocean somewhere with a few hectares. That's what they're called here as opposed to acres. Few hectares and lots of antenna space and that kind of a setup. So I'm wavering between staying right here, perhaps venturing back to the United States, or building myself a nice house on a hill in paradise. So I don't know. I'm just at that stage of my life where I'm likely to do anything. I'm very volatile, as you know. So there you have it. All right, back to open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Let's go to Sean in New York on the wild card line. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. You mentioned the Hubble Space Telescope a while back.
Yes.
Do you suppose that it would be possible for the shuttle, a shuttle mission, to go up there and recapture the thing, since it brought it up in the first place, and then tow it over to the International Space Station and thereupon reinstall it on the space station itself so as not to lose the thing, not to cause it to, go back into the atmosphere? And
okay, my understanding is that the orbits of the space station, even the shuttle when it goes up, are just simply nowhere near Hubble. So to go to Hubble would require a specific Hubble mission, and because of the tragedies we've had and the trouble we've had, they're not thinking they've got the time or the ability to get to it. So it's going to be a big controversy.
I know President Bush said that he wanted to go back to the moon at some point. Do you think a worthwhile first step back to the moon would be something like a mission to capture the Hubble and perhaps set it on the moon as a future observatory or some such thing?
It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
No question about that. I don't know. The answer to the question is I don't know, sir, and I only hope that we don't let the Hubble, re-enter or be destroyed or ignore it or whatever. I'm kind of depressed about our current status in space or lack of status in space. We're just, I don't know, seems like we're not replacing the shuttle in a timely manner. And we just sort of, we don't have the spirit we once had that President Kennedy ignited in all of us to go into space and leave our Earth, go to the moon and beyond. So even the moon, I mean, we haven't been back to the moon, much less beyond. And it's all a little depressing. I'm sure in enough time, we will once again turn our heads toward the heavens and begin to move outward. I hope so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art Bell.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to speak to you.
And to you.
Congratulations on everything that's happening in your life. I'd have to say, I'm a minister, and you commented on spontaneous human combustion.
Yes.
I'd have to say, when I began to get into the ministry, I didn't go through the traditional route. I went through a local church, and they had a course on ufology. That led me to ghostology.
They had a course on ufology?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And ghostology? What kind of church?
It was a Baptist church, actually. I continued on into ghostology. It was the natural progression for me. Simultaneously, I began listening to your show. Mm-hmm. And so in my studies, what I found out... number one, there's always patterns, and I look for patterns. In the scriptures, it constantly speaks about being happy. There's consequences to not being happy, and one of those consequences, I believe, is when you're constantly down, I guess the continence is down, depressed, it opens your life up to demonic oppression. If you study the stories on humans, spontaneous human combustion, you'll usually see there's drinking involved, or usually depression of some kind, and
you could become so depressed you would burst into flames.
Well, there's something would take over your body, some form of spirit. One thing that's often said is complaints of sulfur,
uh-huh.
And with the EP or EVPs last night,
yes,
your guest mentioned in one of the stories.
That's right.
The family had to run out the house.
That's right.
And I think it all ties in.
It that's as good an explanation as I have heard from anybody. It's entirely possible, as weird as spontaneous human combustion is, you certainly cannot rule out demonic possession. In fact, you cannot rule out demonic possession, period. But certainly, it might be one reasonable explanation for spontaneous human combustion. Or maybe people simply finally get so depressed that, as he pointed out, they become targets for possession and then poof. Or let's see, I still have cigarettes here. This makes a nice little the crackle of flames. I found that, as you know, I'm trying to quit smoking, and I have been pretty successful. I'm doing quite well, with one exception, and that is being on the air. There are, as smokers will tell you, there are certain times that, you just have to have a cigarette. One of them is when shortly after you wake up in the morning with a cup of coffee. Another is after meals. I mean, it's automatic. And then for me, unfortunately, another is being on the air. The radio bone is connected directly to the smoking bone. And, I've been in broadcasting now all my adult life, and I've always smoked when I'm on the air, always, 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 and I'm even cutting back on that now, but it is the most difficult of them all. I've conquered the, to some degree, the morning cigarette, the after-meal cigarettes, and an awful lot of the in-between cigarettes. So I'm about 90% cut down. But the on-the-air cigarettes, that one almost seems impossible. But I'm working on it. First-time caller line, you are on the air.
Hello, Art. How are you today?
I'm fine, Michael.
Yes, I would like quickly, if this is the first time I'm calling, all these years I've been listening, and all these years I've thought of all the long drawn-out speeches, the long intellectually stimulating answers I'm going to have, and this is what it comes down to. Two points, quickly. On free trade, there is no such thing as free trade with Mexico. Secondly, I could put to bed finds of spontaneous combustion. And you know what that is?
What?
People are hot. And with that said, thank you very much.
That was it. After all those years, it boils down to that. People are hot. Some people are hot, some not. Let's go to Canada, west of the Rockies to be sure, but in Canada, you're on the air, Jim.
Hi there, and good day to you from the West Coast out here. I just heard the repeat of your water show the other week.
Ah, yes.
Quite
yes.
A phenomenal subject. And I was thinking, you know, regarding the groupthink thing that you tried there a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
The mass consciousness thing. You know, if we have the technology to, you know, if we all band together to create a lot of great solutions, and I was thinking if we could just, in a mass consciousness thing, just go for efficacy and respect for life on this planet, and we'll get rid of these globalists and their money-making destructive natures, and we'll just sort of put them out to pasture, so to speak, get them effectively out of business through a mass consciousness thing, and I think... giving your show.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure that I'm against the concept of money making.
I'm just talking about the
I mean, globalists.
Efficacy, you know? Respect.
Well,
for
I'm not.
Life.
I'm not. The efficacy of it is a good question. What's wrong with it?
Well, why doesn't your country have medical for everybody without a massive headache of bills and suffering? And, you know, why can't we just do the best for everybody as opposed to just the best for the few?
Well, your country is Canada, right?
That's correct.
My understanding is that the free medical for everybody is not quite what it would be made out to be. Number one, it's virtually going broke. Number two, if you need an operation and you need it quickly, you might not get it, and the only way you're going to get it is come down to the U.S. and pay for it.
Well, if you have the money to do it in either country, you're obviously better off, but there's a lot of people in your country that don't have the money, and they suffer for that. And so sometimes waiting isn't an option for them because there's a big bill to pay at the end of the road anyway. But I was just thinking in the more, you know, as far as efficacy and mass consciousness, it would, you know, it's almost like inaction is karma that is eternal. And we should all try to do our best with the tools we have. And you have one exceptional tool that you've created. And I think it would be, you know, it would be great for... you know, just to sort of put everybody in a positive perspective with respect to eliminating the corruption that's hoarding a lot of governments around the world and eliminating these mass corporate entities that are breaking up our consciousness about truth and awareness. Because, you know, like knowledge lights the path to wisdom and wisdom builds the path to spirituality. So if we can get together on a spiritual wavelength, I think we can cure a lot of the deficiencies that are manipulated by the globalists. You know?
All right, Jim, thank you. Look, I am certainly against the corruption at any level, whether it's local corruption, state corruption, national corruption, whatever it is. Corruption is an evil that has got to go. But that is not to say that all big business is corrupt. And that's where I think a lot of the people who call themselves anti-globalists go wrong. They make the automatic assumption that all large business is evil. It's not. It's simply not. It's like anything else. Some would be corrupt and evil, I suppose, and some not. So it's not a black and white issue. And I suppose I'll get emails and they'll say power corrupts, and more times than not, perhaps it does. But not always. So not always does big mean bad. We are headed toward a global economy, whether we like it or not. Now, I hope we can get there without a lot of corruption and a lot of dirty dealing. But without question, that's where we're headed. I think I've said this before. In the beginning, people traded with their neighbors. Then they began trading from little towns to little towns. Then they began trading, in the U.S. as an example, from state to state. And then countries began trading. And now, in today's world, we're in a situation where you've got the European community trading pretty much as a bloc, certainly monetarily together as a bloc. You've got Asia over here, where I am, beginning to form, China going berserk. Even the Philippines, where I am, beginning to get up off its knees and start to move economically. And, of course, Japan, Korea, and Asia in general going crazy. And the Americas have got to do the same thing. So it's headed in this direction, whether we like it or not. Whether we can shape the ethics of how we arrive at the other end is a very good question, however. Wildcard Line 3, you are on the air. Chris in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Art, thanks for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of yours. So I've always been listening to your show, even as a kid. So quick question for you, though. I've been doing kind of research on my own a little bit about John Titor. And all the evidence, the research I've been finding is kind of old. Do you know if there's been any developments in kind of that field, or do you think...
I've heard nothing at all lately about Titor. So, I saw a rumor that mm-hmm. there might be a movie about Titor's exploits, but that's the only thing I've heard in a long time now. Otherwise, I've not heard any new information at all.
Yeah, I've looked on, the internet and whatnot, and it's all old information. And especially with September 11th, that kind of gets you to think a little bit. Maybe this, what he's kind of alluding to. Of course, it could be a hoax, but for people like us, why not think out of the box,
But here's what I'll say. All the time travel people, from Dr. Anderson to, I won't even read off the list. But there are many, many, many time travel people over the years that I've interviewed that I consider to be legitimate in their fields. And I must tell you, they all have disappeared. They're gone. Now, they may have just simply chosen to disappear, or they may have done what they do. And that is to say, they may be in a different time. Who knows? It certainly is fascinating to consider, isn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air in Houston, Texas. Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Art, I heard your comment earlier about the U.S. space program kind of floundering or really fizzling a little bit over the years.
I think that's right, yes.
Okay, and I've noticed that, too, that since the... development of the space shuttle. That was the last big push after the moon missions, I think, to get the space shuttle developed and get it going. Mm-hmm. They moved to the space station, and I'm not real sure what benefits we're getting from the space station.
It's about halfway finished right now, and of course, yeah. We just resumed a little bit of construction on it, but it's only about halfway done.
Right. But, on the other hand, Hubble sits out there and hangs out there in space, and... they're providing all kinds of discoveries, about the universe. And I question, being here in Houston, why don't we focus more on space exploration, go back to the moon, go to Mars, and then kind of leave the space station alone. And I was just kind of wondering what you thought about that.
Well, what I think is that once a project like the space station, hundreds of billions of dollars begins, wasn't supposed to be that much in the beginning. There's a bureaucratic base that builds with it, sir, that's almost impossible to stop. It's a project underway, and whether or not it's worth what we're now having to spend on it or not, I think we're going to continue with it. And whether it turns out to pay for itself, I think, is highly in question.
I do too. So.
I'm with you. I think we should be looking outward, going outward. I know that it costs money, but hey, America's a rich nation. It can pretty much afford to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, actually, I think I'd like to see a space station on the moon as opposed to the one we currently have. Something that we can launch further missions from.
I'm with you all the way, buddy. It's just a little depressing, but given enough time and perhaps another administration or so, and I'm sure we'll be back in biz. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell.